keen to move forward quickly this morning here. And time has flown by, as we can see. Let's move briskly. But let's move with an intent in our minds. We never rush the Word of God. This is food. This is manna from heaven. We don't need to rush anything. What we do is we take it on board. Now listen, even as we begin to enter into the Scripture, I'm going to ask you this. Let's not, okay, presume when we reach a familiar Scripture that we fully understand what the Scripture is saying. Let me tell you this. You need to approach the Scripture, as I need to approach the Scripture, with an openness for the Holy Spirit to speak to us and reveal truth of that Scripture into us, so that when that truth is revealed into us, it takes a root in us, and then it abides in us. When His Word abides in us, it manifests out of us. But it won't manifest until it abides. It has to abide. And we have the power to let that abide in us. Or we can say, as religious people say, well, I've read it before, I'm going to read it again, here it is, and, you know, we go through the motions. Nice little 3 points, and we'll all be on our way. No, we're not interested in that. We're interested in studying so that we take it on board and then it manifests out of my life. That has to be what happens. Because this word is living. It's real. It's not like any other book. It's the Word of God. With that in mind, let me say this. I enjoy my garden. And I'm not necessarily hugely knowledgeable in the garden, but I enjoy the garden. Now, when a plant isn't doing so well in a thing, in an area, I look to see, I wonder now what's happened there. Maybe it's not enough water. Maybe there's too much water. Maybe it's the soil. Maybe it wasn't fed. Maybe it wasn't dug deep enough. There are all sorts of things. Maybe we need a certain type of additive for the soil. Maybe we can feed it through the leaves. Maybe it needs to go through the soil. Maybe we can feed it on top of the soil. Maybe it should be pruned. Well, there's all sorts of things that we need to ask ourselves. But you know, we're about to make a move. We're going to go physically, a move. Out from here, and just plonk over there. And it's a strategy of God. This is God's church. It's not anyone else's church. It's His church, and He's made a way. If you tried to orchestrate this, you just couldn't. It's His church. It's His kingdom. So with that in mind, there's some things that we should... You see, the Scriptures say to us, let's walk circumspectly. So in other words, examining where we are and perceiving what's happening circumspectly. So let's just have a look at these. Before I get to the main point, let's just have a look at a few questions. Very quickly, I'll go over this quickly, maybe tonight we'll go into them more. But the first thing I want to ask everyone to ask themselves here is this. Am I praying with faith? Praying, yes, but praying with faith. Am I praying with faith? Am I serving with zeal? There's something that I'm doing in the church. Am I doing it with my enthusiasm? Is it a case of me saying, oh, you know, I'm so blessed. I have the job in the church, and my role is this. This is what I'm doing in the church. I'm doing it unto God. Or am I doing it begrudgingly? Am I doing it with an attitude of, well, if I must, I don't suppose there's anyone else who will do it, I'll do it. That type of an attitude. I mean, you don't find that anywhere in the Bible. What you find in the Bible is enthusiasm and zeal and a sense of, God has called me, I'm going to do this unto God. So, two questions. Am I praying with faith? Am I serving with zeal? Am I believing with confidence? Do I have a belief with confidence that God is manifesting in and through my life? Am I worshiping with joy? Yes, we've come to worship this morning, but do I come to worship the world with singing priesthood? Is there joy? Am I coming with joy? Entering his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Joy. Is that my attitude? There's so many questions I could ask. Am I reaching out with love? Is there love in me that causes me to want to reach people with the love of God? Is that what's happening inside of me? Well, let me say this. The answer to some of those questions, perhaps for some of us, is perhaps not as positive as we'd like it to be. And I want to share with you one of the reasons why. It's a foundation principle. I was thinking that this, what we would do at this period was talk about cells. But this week, I shouldn't be talking about cells until this move has happened, until the new year. But what I need to be talking about at this point is the foundations of our faith. Foundation principles. Let's make sure that the foundations are in place. You see, when the plant is pulled up, you have a chance to examine it, you examine the roots, you have a chance then to, perhaps if it's come from a pot, you break the roots up to allow them to grow. You just ruffle those roots. You pull it from the pot, you ruffle the thing, roughly underneath, roughly around the side, and then you can place it in the ground, the roots, then they're not pot bound. And then they can grow and flourish. And God is saying to us this, listen, he wants us to flourish. So we ask ourselves these questions. And these questions lead us to examine the fundamentals. As you examine the fundamentals of this plant so that it will produce a crop, you examine the fundamentals of your life and belief so that your life and belief will produce. Jesus says, if you want to know about the tree, you look at its fruit. You tell the tree by its fruit. It may say orange tree on it. If it's not producing oranges, it's not an orange tree. I don't care what the sign says, it's not an orange tree unless it's producing oranges. The Christian tree must produce fruit.
Amen.
It's no good saying, I'm in a church and the church is producing fruit. No. It's not what the scriptures say. No, it says each one, Ephesians, Galatians, all over, Galatians 6:5, each one should what?
Yeah.
Bear their own load. In other words, be responsible for that which God has called you to do, and produce the fruit thereof. So now, one of the things that stops people is not understanding the foundations of their faith. Justification is very important for us to understand because it produces joy and freedom and all manner of good things in us. Come with me to the scripture, please. Let's turn then to to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans 4, from verse 4. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Mm. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Well, that makes me happy. Well, that makes me very happy. Oh, it makes me so happy. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. In other words, he's got what he was due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. God justifies the ungodly. And he uses the finished word of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the previous chapter of Romans, Romans 3. You see, those who seek acceptance before God on the grounds of their own righteousness will find that they fall short. That's the point. You see, some people, you see, they say, well, oh, I've served in the church. They have a religious understanding of what it is to be justified. I've served in the church for so many years. I've done this. I've been diligent. I've been very diligent. And I've done this and this and this. And well, all those things are pointing to self. And what the scriptures are saying to us is, listen, no. When we talk about righteousness and our righteousness before God, there's only one way. It's his righteousness that was imputed into us. It's a foundation of our faith. It's vital that we understand this, because this is what leads to joy and celebration in Jesus. And this is what leads us to the enthusiasm so that when we do pray, we are praying prayers of faith. That when I love, yes, I've got love for people because I've received an understanding of his love for me. How can I be harsh with someone knowing how bad I was and how loving to me he has been? How could I be harsh to them? No, I've received his love, and now I must be loving towards them. It's an overflow, but it comes from understanding this, thoroughly understanding this. And I find that there's so many churches now that are so riddled with religion, dead religion. And people have this entrenched in their thinking. But in Romans 3, 27, 28, it says this. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. How justified? By faith. By faith alone. That's it. And it's a foundation of my life. And in my life, what I find is I can make mistakes and mess up. I'm just okay. Now, this is why it's important not to focus on me too much. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So yes, you can. Follow my example. In that there are things that you will see that will lead and they will be helpful. But looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the way to look at it. When we look at him and we focus on him, what happens is this joy of righteousness and the remembrance of the truth of what he's done and my position in him now, it just wells up inside of me. I'm happy in him. I'm justified because of him. And you see, what I'm so aware of is the enemy comes in to people's minds. And he tries to get people's minds tricked. And he says, well, you're no good. Oh, you messed up again. Oh, you've done this, and you've done this. And look, and he's the accuser of the saints as well as the father of all lies. And so he comes in with accusations. And what we must do is, instead of listening to those accusations, is listen to the eternal resonating truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And discern those lies and refute those lies. And what I find is the condemnation comes through friends, through family members, it can come through people that you meet, even here having a coffee. Although, I will hope not. But it can come. Jesus says, even the members of your own family. And so, we shouldn't be surprised. But the focus of our attention now, being on him and the truth that we find in his word. You know, I went to a man, he was a worship leader in a church, and I said to him, they were leading in worship, and he was so enthusiastic, he played the keyboard and sang. He had a very good voice. And he was just playing the keyboard, and he was just so skillful the way he could play it, the way he was singing. Oh, he was, you know, really good and enthusiastic, and but he wasn't showing off. You know, he was really doing a good job of worship, and I was really blessed. And I went up to him afterwards. I said, "Listen," I said, "I really appreciate what you what was going on with the music today." I said, "It was lovely," and he just sort of shrugged his shoulders and he said, "Well, that." When someone does something nice and you show gratitude, that's a nice thing. And it's an appropriate thing to show gratitude when someone does something nice. It would have been appropriate for him to have said, "Thank you, that's nice." Or, "Thank you, that's encouraging. Thank you." When we look to God and the truth of our justification hits us, as we've just read in Romans 4 and 3, that truth ought to hit us to the point where we are grateful to God, where our lives become very grateful lives to God, and where now I am serving God with zeal because I'm grateful. I am so grateful for what he's done for me in my life. Serving him with zeal is not difficult. I'm enthusiastic because of what he's done. But you see, this is the thing that concerns me. If there's no enthusiasm for the service of God, how real is the understanding of redemption? If there's no real enthusiasm how real is redemption? Because once redemption is real, I'm spending my life. Now, my life's aim is to serve Him according to what He's called me to do, and to do that and to testify to for Jesus and to tell the world, look what Jesus has done. And to teach Christians and say, look, by being a Christian, this is what you say you believe. If you really believe this, please tell your face. And smile and be happy and show the joy of God. Because, you know, there has to be a manifestation of this. Look, when Paul and Silas are beaten up, thrown into the prison, here's a clue, you know, bleeding in the inner cell, and they're there and they've been beaten up by a Roman centurion. You know, those soldiers were tough. it would have been a tough bruising. But what are they doing? They're praising God. Why? Because they're serving God. They're on a mission from God. And the church in Philippi is just about to be planted. But there's that zeal there. The New Testament is a book of zeal and enthusiasm. And so God is calling us to be a people of zeal and enthusiasm, folks. Some people are like that keyboard player was to me. They just. But to God, no. We should be so thankful. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. An attitude of thankfulness, gratitude, and worship towards God is a vital feature of genuine. Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Notice He's a rewarder. If you ask the average Christian, are you expecting a reward? They say no. Okay, what do you got when you believe? Oh no, I don't want a reward. Oh no, that's not, no, I'm happy as I am. No, but it's yours. Oh no, that's not okay. You know, I'm just, you know, humble Joe over here. I don't want a reward. I'm just happy the way I am. God is saying that you can have a reward. It means it's there, it's part of the new covenant, it's yours. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Or is it that you're not diligently seeking Him? And you know you'd be a robber if you were to receive a reward, because you wouldn't be diligently seeking Him. I don't know. But you see the implication. That if people are diligently seeking Him, He's a rewarder. Oh, I like having rewards. I'm happy with rewards. Do you expect a reward? Believe and receive, or doubt and go without. You know, eternal life is obtained through the knowledge of the true God and Jesus Christ. Let's go to John 17. In John 17, 3, it says this, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, notice it says, know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. It's eternal life to know you, to have knowledge, gnosis of you, gnosis of God. And to know God is to be a child of God. And to be a child of God is to have an understanding of his loving heavenly Father and how he operates and who he is. Look, I love my wife. There's things I can tell you about my wife. She doesn't need to speak to me. I can just tell what she's thinking at times because I love her. I'm close to her. I know what she's thinking when I do certain little things. I already know. Why? That's right. She knows me, and I know her. And so that knowledge, I know what pleases her. Let me tell you, friends, listen to me. We need to know God in a similar relationship way. We know what pleases him. I know what pleases her. I know what pleases him. And I know and expect them as a consequence. When I do something nice, it's a consequence. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You plant a seed, the right circumstances, you wait for the harvest. Plant a seed of kindness and love. This is how God works. God made us. We were made in his image. He made us. So we function and operate in his way. So this is nothing, this is his nature. Because the New Testament says that now we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is what we have. So we can operate as Christ operates on planet Earth. And so 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. My friends, I've been saying this a lot over the recent times. I know I have. I'm fully aware. But I want this to really sink in. I want us to really take this home. I want us to say, yes, he became sin for us, that we may be the very righteousness of God in him. As I walk through this world, I walk as the righteousness of God. You walk as the righteousness of God. Now the religious mindset says, well, you know, oh, who do you think you are? Well, you say you're the righteousness of God. I'm not saying the Bible says it, and I'm learning from the Bible. Amen? Amen. It's not me having a puffed up opinion of myself. It's what the Bible teaches. And it's religious ignorance that has avoided this. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now what happens when I take this home? What happens? It causes me to walk in a different way. believe in a different way, and an expectation is different now. Because I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not poor, impoverished, little old me, trying to get through somehow, being buffeted about by unlucky circumstances. No, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, hallelujah! I'm an ambassador of God. If I choose to speak to a mountain, I can move a mountain. Of course I can. Hallelujah. Do you know, last week I went to a church in the evening. I'd been in this place before. And I met one of the people there before. And they had this. See, it's not your portion. It's not for you. It's not yours. You're not having it. Minister healing in Jesus' name. So lovely to meet them and see them. It's not there. It's gone. That's an example of what happens when we recognize who we are in God. Once I understand what this verse is saying, that I am the righteousness of God. I am right standing with God, in other words. You know, someone came to me last week. They said, oh, you're moving churches. Don't be sure. Because I had a vision, they said. They said they had a vision that over this building there was a light. Over the other building, there was darkness. I said, well, I put some good news for you. I said, I know vision. When I go over there, there'll be light. Even if there might not be in your sight right now. And that I even doubt. The point is, we could have known who we are. To be who He's called us to be. To manifest His works according to His calling. And that comes, my friends, through a transformation of the mind. It's this. Repentance, metanoia, change of knowledge. My change of knowledge must take place for me to walk in what He's calling to walk in. And for me to be. And this is vital for us. I'm coming to a close this morning, but I just want us to understand this because it's so beautiful. I mean, if this doesn't get us rejoicing and worshiping and being thankful, oh, hallelujah, what could? But the righteousness of God in Him comes through the Holy Spirit, the revelation of that comes to spend time with God. Perhaps the mind doesn't quite grasp it. If you're reading this and saying, I don't, if you're sitting here right now as we close and saying, look, I don't quite get why He's getting excited. It's okay, but I don't quite get it. It's okay. I understand. What it is this. The Holy Spirit now needs to quicken this to you. That the Holy Spirit quickens this to you, the reality of redemption, who we are. He quickens it to us. And what happens is this becomes alive. Our minds become transformed. The reality of these scriptures comes into our mind. It manifests that in through us. You see, we have received an anointing of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit anointing can quicken this to us. But we have to do a couple of things. We have to place ourselves in the place. place before God to receive, we do that as we worship and praise Him and honor Him in our lives throughout the week. And then we do that as we study to show ourselves approved. Okay? So when we do these things, this reality, this truth manifests in and through us. Let's stand together, shall we? For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we thank You. Praise His wonderful name. Praise His glorious name. Thank You, Lord. In Romans 10:3, there's a warning. And the warning is this, I'll read it out. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Oh, my friends, my brothers and sisters, did you hear that? Let me read it out again. This is a warning from Scripture. A very serious warning. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. My friends, we must submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. He has called us to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. And in fact, He has called us to be the very righteousness of God. He's called us to be that righteousness. So when someone meets you during the week, they're not just meeting a human being. Yes, you've got skin and bones and blood. They're not just meeting a human being. They're meeting the righteousness of God. That's who they're meeting. They're meeting the righteousness of God. That's who you are. You're a co-heir. Of Christ. And so, we must walk in this truth. And I want everyone here today to walk out of this place saying, you know what? I'm going to live. Because the Bible verses that we've looked at this morning taught me this way. I'm going to live my life as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because that's His will for my life. I'm not poor, defeated, limping through life. Poor me, barely get along. No. I'm victorious. I'm an ambassador of God. I'm a co-heir with Christ. All things are possible through my life. I can do above and beyond. Because Christ Jesus is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. All things are possible. And so now I come to that place of dedication in my life. Please, everyone, have it. Eyes closed. As we respond to God. Heavenly Father, we want to walk out of this place today saying, yes, this verse is for me. And these verses that we've read this morning, they speak about me. This is Your covenant to me, personally to me. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Lord, we don't want to be like those rebels who didn't accept that righteousness. We want to accept that righteousness. And so, Father God, as each one of us walks out of this place today, we say this, let this scripture be alive to us for the remainder walk in the way you've called us to walk, that we would live according to your precepts and purposes, that, Father God, we would be all that you've called us to be, do all that you've called us to do. Lord, we respond to you now. Brothers and sisters, just lift your hands and respond to him and say, yes, that's for me. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah, that is for me. Oh, he's called me to live my life this way. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that's for me. That's who I am. Hallelujah. Have your way with us, Lord. Praise God.